Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, 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 here we are to Friday. Brewers Outlet is a calling. And believe me, I'm a calling on Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, they are not called the beverage supermarket for nothing. Corey, awesome. That's all we can say about it. Beverages? Incredible selection. I mentioned beer. Snacks? I want to make sure you're loaded up on all the snacks for the big weekend. Whether it's Danville Shikellamy tonight or whether it happens to be watching Clemson, Florida State tomorrow, or your favorite NFL game coming up on Sunday, whatever, Luck against Manning on Sunday night, everything's, I mean, it's a great weekend. And the baseball playoffs are continuing and so forth. You want to have snacks and beverages. They have the pickle bar. You also are talking about the fresh, hot, roasted peanuts, which I love. Love, love, love.
Do you get the big containers of Middlesworth potato chips out there?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Yeah, you can get the real big ones down there at Brewers Outlet too. That, although it's bigger
barbecue.
Than the it's bigger than the Weekender. But
oh, yeah.
The problem is, I still haven't found a weekend that whole bag lasts. It's more like an hour.
Exactly, and the fresh hot roasted peanuts. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. A little bit later, Walt Moody, the sports editor of the Center Daily Times, will be on with us. And we're going to have Todd Tilford on today. Jim Kaiser was on yesterday. Todd Tilford today as we get you ready and preview the big game coming up tonight. Anticipation. Crowd's going to be huge tonight, Kevin, for that one between Danville and Shikellamy.
Yeah, that's going to be one of those where they stand around the track. So get there early, bring a nice blanket because it's going to be a football chill in the air. It's the way it's just the way October football should be. Plus, it's homecoming for the Ironmen, so you know that there's just going to be a huge crowd, a lot of anticipation for a Heartland Conference Division I decider game. Danville wins, they win the at least a share of the conference. If they lose, Shikellamy still has an opportunity to win the conference or have a share of the conference as well. It's kind of the way we thought this season would come down earlier on in the year.
7 o'clock kickoff tonight with Kevin and the coach Dick Hort. Looking forward to it. Should be a fabulous, fabulous game tonight.
And a quick reminder for fans that are coming from Sunbury, Northumberland, north on Route 11. There's still construction in Danville, Route 54, the intersection there where they're working on the floodgate. And it is very, very slow in that area. So if you have an alternate route, you may want to take it. Maybe go the back way in through Riverside or just plan for some extra time because I'm sure traffic is going to be just a little bit heavier later on this afternoon at probably 5:30, 6 o'clock than normal.
Don't they understand there's a big game? Shut it down.
I know. That's what I've been saying.
I mean, here it is. Shut it down. Three big words. Shut it down.
Well, there's a big hole right now where the road was, or where the bridge is. That's a little bit of an issue.
Fine. You know, get some gaffer's tape. Patch it. Let's go.
Put right. A ramp in. We'll just jump it. We'll go Dukes of Hazzard on it.
Now you're talking excitement. And that's what you'll have tonight. How anxious are you for tonight's game?
I'm so anxious, I haven't even had a chance to write the open yet.
Oh, come on. Outlined against a gray blue sky.
You know, it's funny you mention that because Ironman Stadium, there was a picture from field level of a kickoff right about sunset. I think it was about 3 years ago, and it was used in Sports Illustrated. And it was just, it was a gorgeous sky as the sun set.
I had to laugh so hard last night.
Yeah.
The Journey on Big Ten Network.
Right.
Okay. Did a feature on John Urschel. And in the last 5 minutes of the show, it's the Penn State Michigan game, and it's Jack and me taking you through the game.
Did they use your open? We're here. Yep. Let's start.
Yep. That's about it. And I laughed. I said, all I thought was, this guy sits there and, like, right, okay, draft 22. All right. I sit there and go, hey, we're here. They're going to play first time in 3 years, kick it off.
No. Me, in the meantime, on a golden sky sunset here in Danville. No, you're here. Kickoff coming up next on the Penn State Sports Network.
I said, it's a full house at a whiteout, and for the first time in 3 years, Penn State and Michigan get together. That's all I said.
You couldn't do anything like, it's a whiteout without a snowplow.
No.
No. Or like when I open things to Jersey Shore, I say, welcome to the shore without a beach.
No.
Nothing.
No. Crickets. That's all I did. They go, that's great, they use it.
Were they desperate for audio?
I laughed so hard when I saw that. I thought, that poor guy puts in like 6 days writing this thing. I say the first thing that comes to my head, national TV. We'll use it. It was awful.
There's Aaron's ears. It's a whiteout. Yahoo!
It was about as vanilla gets.
It was as pale as the stands in white.
I mean, I said they think to myself, this poor guy writes all this poetry and the whole thing, and I, like, painstakingly 4 hours. All right, draft 78.
You know why I do it? Because why? I grew up watching Jim McKay.
I understand.
And because Jim McKay was a writer before he was a broadcaster, he had such a beautiful way of setting the scene before whatever event he was covering.
Right.
And that's where I kind of got the idea.
Well, see, part of it though for me is
you've been on the air for what, 90 minutes earlier.
Right, exactly. We've been on the air for 90 minutes and Roger opens the show. Jack and I aren't even on the first segment. So by the time we get there, the first time we're on, and see, Roger writes out what he does. Right? The first time we're on. So to me, the open that I do is what, 15 minutes before kickoff.
And you have to get a sponsor mentioned right there.
Eventually. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I could do more if I wanted to, but, you know, I figure I got another 4.5 hours. So let's not use all the good stuff now.
Maybe longer, depending on how many overtimes it goes.
That's what I said to Bill in the post game. I said, well, Bill, after that 4.5 hour passion play, and that's about what it was. All right. Time now for a look at Penn State Athletics, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
Best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2010 Ford Escape XLT, one of the most affordable fuel-efficient SUVs, just $15,995. A one-owner, newly inspected, and fully serviced 2012 Ford Focus SEL, $13,998. 2010 Dodge Nitro SE comes with warranty. Lowest price promise, $17,989. 2011 Ford F-150 XLT, an outdoorsman and contractor's choice, just $29,494. And a 2012 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter new tires, just $14,993. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yes, Dick Hort humming that in the car as we speak.
I don't think so. He usually doesn't hum, he snores, but that's a whole different topic.
You're really kind of a brutal guy. I mean, you know, you're brutal.
Well, you know, you ride on road games with him over the last 16 years. I mean, this is a guy who actually taught, you know, a driver's education. And he says the reason he sleeps is because he feels safer if his eyes are closed.
I see. Well, it's a big game tonight, Shikellamy and Danville. And Kevin, of course, has been studying tape, began writing the open, what I believe was Thursday last week, wasn't it?
No. No, Thursday this week.
It's a stone tomahawk against a team built on iron.
I told you I may use that. That's good.
Oh, God. It's like me saying, look, it's a cat fight, a wolverine against a lion. Come on, man.
Which is stronger, stone or iron? We'll find out tonight.
My will. That's what's stronger. My will. Okay. Have you thought about today's rant?
No, not at all, actually. We may have to bypass the rant.
Oh.
Well, I have to depart a little earlier than normal.
The game's where? Danville?
Yeah.
You act like the game's in New York.
No, if it was in New York, I would have departed much earlier than this. I'm sorry. Unlike you, Mr. 3 minutes before air, I have to set up. I have to go talk to people. I have to get everything all squared away. Then I have to go upstairs and get everything all ready to go on the air. You know, I don't have this entourage like you do to set everything up for me.
In other words, you want Halushki.
Well, that would be all right.
That's why you're doing this.
I don't know if they have Halushki at Danville or not.
How do you not know? Your kid plays JV there.
Well, it doesn't mean I get there early enough to have dinner. I get there in time to watch it. That's about it.
Are you going to switch over to the Danville games when he starts playing or what?
Haven't really addressed that completely yet. I could be looking at a brief hiatus.
I see.
There's a couple of kids though that in his group that I coached in youth football that I may want to watch come up.
How about like your own kid?
Well, yeah.
My parents, when I played high school football, my parents told me that they didn't know what was going on in the game because all they would do was watch what I was doing. They didn't really know what the score was until the end. Whatever.
You don't want to know what I do. We film the plays he's in. Okay?
You film the plays he's in?
Yes. And then we look at it afterwards.
Don't the coaches film the plays he's in?
Yes, but I send little messages. Sometimes during the play, sometimes before the play.
You send little messages?
Uh-huh. I lean in front of the camera and go, run! Because sometimes he's on kickoff.
He doesn't know to run?
I don't know.
Don't they have coaches that are in charge
of
this?
Yes, they do, which makes him very happy, I might add.
What does he need you for?
He's asked that many times. He said, why do you do that? I said, because I think sooner or later you're going to feel it. He goes,
why don't you just enjoy it? Can't you just enjoy that, the fact that he's out there? I think it's really cool. I mean, I have one that played football. I have one that played basketball.
Are you kidding? I enjoy every minute of him being out there.
Yeah, but I just kicked back and just watched. And when it was done, I told him what a great game they played.
I'm a nervous wreck when he plays.
I'm not. I was not. I wanted them to do well, but I wanted them to enjoy it. And I wanted them to be able to either see me later or get in the car or whatever, and they could count on the fact that I would tell them how proud I was of them and how great they were.
He told me the other day how much more he's enjoying football this year. And I said, why is that?
That's good.
He said, because you can't stand next to me on the sideline.
Oh, brother.
He said, I can't hear you down there.
A statement unto itself right there.
I can't hear you.
At that moment, was there a moment of reflection, reevaluation?
No. No, I think I changed the subject and went back to one of the plays that I noticed something that I wanted to tell him.
You know what? I should take a Monday and go to a game with you. Do the show there and then go together.
You would have material for months.
That's one of the reasons why I want to do it.
My wife sits on the other side.
A statement unto itself.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brought to you today by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Corey's got the pickle bar up and cooking. Speaking of cooking, how about fresh hot roasted peanuts? How about snacks all over the place? The greatest selection you can ask for. And beverages, lots and lots of beverages. Did I mention beer? Well, the big one is tonight, isn't it?
Absolutely. Shikellamy, Danville, but going a long way to decide the Heartland one. As a matter of fact, if Danville wins this tonight, it would be the first time that Danville has won the conference during homecoming. So it's a really big game for Danville, as well as Shikellamy, to try and get things squared away here for the district playoffs. I mean, right now they're looking at a very possible home game for the first round of the playoffs, and lots of bonus points in this game, too, for both teams.
Well, earlier, Kevin had a chance to talk to Todd Tilford about the showdown tonight between the Iron Men and the Braves.
Coach Todd Tilford of the Shikellamy Braves joining us here on the Steve Jones Show as we chat a little bit about this matchup between Shikellamy and Danville. And, Coach, I have to ask you first off, you know, this time of year, injuries become a big part of, you know, your planning for the week. Sometimes JV games get canceled because of injuries. Where do you stand now? I mean, how's the team health-wise? And do you find more injuries this year, or is it about normal for this time of the year?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, like this, we're pretty healthy going into this. You know, we got the normal bumps and bruises, but that's just part of it. So really can't complain, knock on wood. And I think our kids had a great week of practice, and they're looking forward to competing tonight against a real good Danville team.
You know, a lot of us felt as though this game was going to decide the Heartland Conference, or at least go a long way to doing that, and it appears as though that's the case. Is that something you've talked about with the kids here this week, and, you know, how has it changed maybe attitudes in practice?
Yeah, the way our schedule sets up, playing, finishing the season with a bunch of league games at the end, you know, really sets up nice because, you know, earlier in the season, you know, we ended up with some losses where we just didn't make some plays to get it done, and, you know, honestly, it doesn't really matter right now because if our goal is to win districts and win a league championship, you know, we're right where we want to be. And so, you know, it's just a matter of how we play from here on out. And I think our kids are aware of that, and they're excited to be playing for a share of first place tonight.
You know, we've talked about this all season. This is a Shikellamy team that is a couple of plays away in all of the losses from really winning those games. Is that how the kids feel as well, that their record is nowhere near where the level that they're playing?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about that, you know, but that's part of the game. You know, we made some mental mistakes for some penalties and had some turnovers, which is definitely part of the game. And, you know, we just have to cut those out. And, you know, we're just thankful that we've got another opportunity to compete. And like I said, we're still control our own destiny as far as all those things go down the stretch. And our kids are aware of it. And, you know, we're in a spot where we got a chance to get up against a good team, and kids are excited about that.
Last week, Alex Bruner had a really good game, highest output and most carries all season long, I believe, and really took advantage of every opportunity he had to carry the football. Is that something that just happened during the game, or is that something that was in the game plan last week?
Yeah, I mean, anytime both of those plays on Bruner made a couple big runs last week. Gian Turber did a real nice job blocking and sealing things off, and we've been working with Alex about planting, and I mean, he's a fast guy, but sometimes he was not being decisive, and we've been really drilling with him to just plant and go and trust the hole, and I think it's starting to click for him. And so that was a good sign, and we're going to need more of that.
You know, it's always a good sign when your running game's going, because that opens up the door for the passing game, and Garrett Kemberling really took advantage. Didn't throw that many passes, but only threw, I think, one incompletion last week. Where's his level coming out of, you know, the injuries early on in the season? How far has he progressed this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's Garrett's getting more comfortable, and you know, he's capable, especially those when he gets on the corner and the edge, when he gets the run pass read. And that's something I think, you know, especially tonight, we're going to need to do a little more and get him out in those spots where he can be an athlete. And I think, you know, Garrett wants to do a little more, and we want to see him doing more in that part of our game. And I think it's just going to make us a better team.
You look at the other end of a pass is the receiver, and the other end of that pass, there's been a lot of different receivers this year. Are you surprised a little bit at the depth at the receiving core and how well these guys that aren't 6'5 guys have done against some really mismatches at times?
Yeah, we got a few guys out there that were comfortable rotating in the game with Nate Schroeder and Nick Dunn, you know, both starting on defense, and then Tyler Maul and Durr rotating in. So all four of those guys get some time, and they do a good job of, I guess, like you said, probably more of possession receivers there. You know, Schroeder's got a little more speed, but both of those guys do a good job rotating in and stock blocking, because a lot of what we ask them to do is to block, and staying on blocks is something we have to keep on improving on, because we do have guys that can break it if they stay on their blocks out there.
Well, and another thing I think they've done a really nice job at this year is finding ways to get open. As I said, you know, they're not towering over corners at all, but they still find a way to get to the football. Is that something you teach, or is that something that just they end up doing?
Well, instinct is nice, yeah, but we definitely do drill that and get after it. And like I said, hopefully it pays off here down the stretch.
As you look at tonight's matchup, what's the one thing that has you concerned the most?
I think with Danville, they're just such an experienced team. You know, they've been there last year with the districts and state playoff games, and a lot of those guys are back. So they're not going to be rattled. You know, they have a few injuries. And what Danville's just good at is they just run their stuff. It doesn't really matter who's there, because, you know, we play a lot of teams that maybe run a lot more formations and a lot more plays. And Danville, to their credit, just says, this is what we're good at. You know, here we are, stop us. And you know, they're just been really proficient on offense, and you know, we know what they're going to do. It's just a matter of our kids making plays again.
Do both these offenses look very similar? Is it kind of like playing your own offense?
Yeah, scout team this week at practice was easy. You know, we're pretty much calling our own plays. You know, they do a few things different, but the base wing T stuff makes it nice because for the overall program as well, because you get the your younger guys get to run your offense, and we kind of get a double dip as an offensive coach that way. So kids know what to expect, and I know I already said it, but it's just a matter of us being in position to make plays and when we have the opportunities tonight.
Todd, what's the one thing that you are looking tonight to do that maybe this team hasn't done yet this year? What's the one improvement you'd like to see?
I think to beat Danville, somebody's going to have to make a big play. A lot of our scoring chances was either set up by our defense or the short field, or we had some drives. I still just think we got the capability to break some tackles and have some quick scores. And, you know, we got to get Danville on their heels, because if we let them be comfortable in what they're doing, and, you know, don't put a little something like that into them, you know, we can't let them get comfortable. So we're going to have some quick scores, and hopefully the defense keeps on containing them and makes them drive it against us.
Todd Tilford joining us on the Steve Jones Show here this afternoon, getting ready for Danville-Shikellamy. I think one of the interesting things here tonight and stats, Steve, is that Danville has not given up a point in the first 12 minutes of the game, and Shikellamy has jumped on, even in the losses, Shikellamy has jumped out to early leads. And then the other thing on the defensive side is Danville is an amazing plus, I think it's plus 10 or 11 mm-hmm. on the turnover ratio. They have intercepted 11 passes, and Weston Baylor's only been intercepted once this year. Now, they don't, as I may have mentioned, they don't throw the ball a ton, but it's because they've had so much success on the ground. Both of these teams have had so much success running the football that they haven't had to rely on the passing game this year. But, boy, that 11-1 interception ratio alone is amazing.
So, in other words, if Shikellamy gets out of the first quarter even and they don't turn the ball over.
Oh, I think this is going to be a nip and tuck game all the way. I think if Shikellamy jumps out, Shikellamy, I believe, has to jump out to an early lead. One, it's because they're in a comfort zone there in a big game with the early lead. I think if they get down a couple of scores, that could be the worst case scenario for Shikellamy. Danville, on the other hand, they have to really get their offense in sync. Sam Dressler is likely going to be starting. He was out last week, as we talked about yesterday Coach Jim Kaiser, the Danville Ironman. He was out along with Isaiah Kroll being out. That's 1,300 yards offense that you lose with both of those guys on the sideline. Well, now you're getting back 858 of it, and that takes a lot of the pressure off Weston Baylor, who was running the ball a lot more often last week against Montoursville than I think you'll see here tonight.
Which team runs the ball better? I'm going to assume Danville.
Yeah, they do. They run the ball a little bit better, and that's because they've had an opportunity really to play a lot of plays. I mean, they get a lot of plays in a game. I want to say,
well, here's my
averaging
point.
About 70 is what I want to say, but I don't know if that's...
Here's my point, though. Which team can get to the lead and run the ball to keep the lead?
You know what? I think Danville has had more experience doing that. Shikellamy is starting to get there, but they're not as far ahead in that mindset as Danville is. I'll give you a good example is a couple of weeks into the season, Loyal Sock. Shikellamy had a lead, looking for a fourth down conversion right around midfield, fourth and two, averaging 5 yards a rush in that game. They ended up getting one and falling short, and Loyal Sock comes down and scores and ends up winning the game. That's where I think Danville has the advantage. If Danville has a lead late, they can put the game. They have had more experience at putting the game away.
What kind of crowd are they expecting tonight?
I would say if you don't get there by 6:30, you're definitely going to be in the standing room section watching it from around the track. The combination of homecoming and the fact that it will likely be the last time these two teams meet in quite some time, because of Danville moving to Division II next year in the Heartland Conference, and the fact that the Heartland Conference Division I title could be claimed here tonight, I think it's going to be a jam-packed house. Should be a great atmosphere for a game, I'll tell you that much.
I'm sure it will be. Looking forward to it tonight, 7 o'clock this evening. Kevin's on beginning at 6:30 this evening. And we'll have it for you right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Here's one more fun stat for you, Steve. You ready for this? Sam Dressler averages 7.8 yards a carry.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah. That's a big number. Shikellamy's Dwayne Pepper is their leading rusher, averaging a little over 5 yards a carry. So you're talking about two guys, when they touch the football, every two plays, they get a new set of downs.
In theory,
right.
In theory.
Mathematically, we'll put it that way.
All right. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's going to be a A lot of calls to get to. Let's get to it at 800-795-9565. Rob and Nori. Hi, Rob.
Hello. This morning on the talk show on WKOK, Mr. Reichle said that the league championships really don't mean anything and it's only the district championships that they should be worried about. And I don't agree with that. First of all, I think the district championship in AAA is a joke, an absolute joke. There are only seven teams, five of them have terrible records year after year, so it's kind of a setup for Selins Grove to get into the state playoffs every year. I mean, Columbia Montour and East Juniata don't even belong in AAA. Jersey Shore has a winning season once every 10 years. Shamokin has had 9 straight losing years, and Shikellamy has had 3 winning seasons in the last 30 years. So that leaves Selins Grove and Milton. So, in other words, if Selins Grove is better than Milton, they're going to be in the state playoffs every year.
Well, I think the way I look at it, Rob, is I think the number one goal is always the state championship, which then leads to the next, which, of course, dovetails in the fact that you obviously won a district championship, which then dovetails in the fact that you won a league championship. I think you know, one leads to another, which leads to another. I know other teams get in that aren't league champions, but I think winning a league championship is extremely important. Extremely important. But I think every team goes in with the idea, look, hey, we have a great year, we won the state championship, which then, of course, brings with it the other titles.
Well, yeah, I think that actually the Heartland Conference Division I is stronger than the district because at least you have Danville and Mifflinburg in there that have winning seasons now and then. But those, like I said, the District 4 should merge with some other district to make it at least reasonable. I mean, whoever heard of only having seven teams and five of them are losing teams every year?
but I think
District 6 and District 9 did what you're talking about. They merged their playoff.
And I really think you have the same problem, though, in single A, too, as far as District 4 because of the limited amount of teams.
I agree with that, too. I mean, that's a joke. Southern Columbia could be in the state playoffs every year if they only won three or four games.
But here's the interesting thing. The league championship does not get you to the state title game. It's the district title that does.
Yeah. Well, based on
that. You know what I mean? It's just there's just a way, a pecking order of doing it. They're all important.
Mm-hmm.
They're all important. It's just one dovetails to the next, which dovetails to the next.
Yeah. But I agree with that fellow that called from Shamokin that said how many teams from this area are ever going to win a state championship. I mean, sure, Selinsgrove Grove did when they had all those coaches' children, the wrestling coach's son, the field hockey coach's son. I mean, how many times is that going to happen, though?
but you know what? Mm-hmm. You have to set the good programs set lofty goals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you set lofty goals. You don't sit there and. Boy, if we could just win the league title, that'd be good enough. Okay, mm-hmm. welcome to Michigan. All right, Rob, thanks so much.
Yep,
Daryl in Herndon. Hi, Daryl. Thanks a lot for waiting. Appreciate it.
I appreciate being able to speak to you.
Hi,
Daryl. I was up at Damon's last Thursday. We were in that auxiliary room, and he went over to talk to the Army people, so I got a chance to see you.
Okay. Oh, that's right. It was good to see you, by the way. Thanks.
I was at the Michigan game Saturday night, and the intensity was amazing. But after that interference call and I had to go to the restroom, I walked out of the stadium and didn't get to see. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get to see the overtime. And all the people that know me know how much of a Penn State fan was, and they couldn't believe I actually did that. But I want to pay you a compliment. As I'm walking out the stadium, I could feel the intensity of the game through my earphones or my headphones on my radio. And I got down there on Hastings Road. That's where we tailgated, where the bus goes by for the football game. And I could actually feel the intensity of the game through your voice, and it actually painted a better picture than if I actually would have sat there and watched it.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. Thank you very much.
I came home and actually watched the replay on Sunday when we got home from camping. And it was amazing how I could actually hear your voice still in my head painting that picture. That was actually better than sitting there watching it.
Well, thanks so much. But I think sitting there watching it and being a part of it certainly was special for so many people that went. It's obviously it was a great game. It was certainly one of the top 5 to 10 games I've ever been involved watching in my life. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've been going up since 71, and that was probably the most intense crowd I've been a part of. I didn't get to the Ohio State game in 2005. So I just wanted to compliment you on that. It was like revisiting years when I was a kid listening to the Phillies announcers and laying in bed and hoping Richie Allen would hit a home run, and then they would describe it over the radio. So you do a good job. Keep it up.
Thanks. I work with a great guy in Jack Hamm. It makes all the difference.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Take care, Daryl.
Thank you.
800-795-9565. Reichle, by the way, is in the studio. He and Kevin are arm wrestling at the moment.
Well, yeah, I think he wants to defend his comment from this morning, but you don't have any defense for it.
Steve, the comment isn't the league is not important. However, if you're playing high school basketball, coaching high school basketball, or football, the way the state tournament is set up, mm-hmm. the league title is of less importance. Now, as a coach and a motivating factor, yes, you want to win the league. But I think you just said it. The league does not get you into districts. And, you know, there was a caller talking about how many times are people going to win state titles, and Selinsgrove had coaches' sons and that mm-hmm. on their team. But Selinsgrove had gone many years into the state playoffs. And mm-hmm. when I was helping out or involved, we would run into Thomas Jefferson in Altoona because District 4 AAA was playing through the West. Selinsgrove went to the East and then played, ironically, Mannheim Central in the state playoff mm-hmm. finals, which Mannheim is far more East than Selinsgrove is, and Mannheim was representing the West. But Southern won a lot of state championships
right.
through District 4.
But you know what? In the end, any title you get is a cherished exactly. title. That still means you beat out a group of other teams. And you ended up playing better than they did. So any title you get, state, district, or league, in the end, very, very important. In terms of what the goals are, state, district title, league title, but any one of the three you get's cherished.